Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia welcomes you to our weekly time of worship and study of God's Word with Pastor Jesse Wagoner. So sit back, relax, and get comfortable, because when you're here, you're home.
Well, I'm looking forward to, in just a few moments, sharing with you a message from God's Word that I shared with the congregation at Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia. And before we get to that, I thought I'd just tell you a little bit about us. My name is Jesse Wagoner, and I'm the senior pastor of Mount Calvary, and I'm your Bible teacher today. And I want to just say thank you. Thank you for giving your time to listen to the truths of God's Word and to be involved in this opportunity to learn more about Him. So thank you. Thank you. You're the reason we are here. We want to thank you very much for that. And also, if you want to get to know more about us, who we are and all that sort of thing, visit our website. It's calvarywv.com. One more time, calvarywv.com. And there you can not only find out who we are, and if you're in the area, you can come visit us, worship with us. Always welcome for that. But also, you can even get more Bible teaching resources there, both video and audio and a lot of content that we don't even present in this format. So we want to encourage you to do that and to be a part of that. So thank you very much for that. Also, a lot of times when you listen to this type of presentation, somewhere along the line, we're going to ask for a gift. Hey, if you'll send us some money, it keeps us going. Well, we're not going to do that, because this is our gift to you. All the production costs, all the broadcast costs, all that sort of thing is funded by our church, and we put this out as a gift to you. So we don't want anything in return monetarily. We always appreciate your prayers. We always would appreciate your encouragement. If you want to give us some feedback, you can do that at calvarywv.com, or you can also go to this website, this email, I should say, info@calvarywv.com. Just put an info@calvarywv.com, and we'll get that. But we'd appreciate that. And also, something else you could do, you can share with others what you're receiving. Tell them about when this is on, where you're hearing it. If you see our social media content that you're going to find out there, just hit the like, hit the share it with someone else. That would be a big help to us, and we would appreciate that very, very much. Let me share one additional thing with you today. I know many of you get this content either via the radio, or some of you get it via podcast. But, and again, that's appreciated. But this is an add-on. This is an addition to. This is a bonus feature, if you want to say it that way, to where God really wants us to connect with Him and His Word. And that's gathering with His people in a local church. And you're certainly, if you're in the Charleston area, you're welcome at Mount Calvary. You can go to our website, calvarywv.com, and come visit with us. You'll find a very welcome, because when you're with us, you're going to feel right at home. But find a local church in your area, because even in the days of the Old Testament, they gathered in the temple for teaching and worship. In the days of Jesus, they gathered in synagogues for the days of, for times of worship and study. And you need to do that. Find a church that you can fellowship with and be together with other people. Don't let this be a substitute for that. Let's get to our Bible study today. I'm looking forward to sharing God's truth with you starting right now. I would direct your attention to Ephesians chapter 5 for our time in the Word this morning. Continue our study that we've entitled Walk with God, looking at a number of passages now on the subject where God directed the writers, both the Old and New Testament, to describe our relationship with Him as a walk, one step after another, progressive, trusting each and every moment along the way. So we encourage you to find your way there. And this is now the third one that we've had that's taken from the book of Ephesians. Last week in chapter 4, we talked about we're to walk worthy of this great calling that we have in Christ. It also was later in chapter 5 where he talks about, starting verse 15, about walking circumspectly and walking in wisdom. But I direct your attention back to verse 8 of chapter 5, book of Ephesians. And I want to point out something to you, because I think it's very important to the rest of this appeal, this directive, this admonition from God Himself, through the pen of the apostle. But it says in verse 8, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." It's frequent and almost exclusively in the right context. When darkness is mentioned in the Bible, it speaks of sinfulness and wickedness. Light pictures righteousness and godliness. There's at least half a dozen places in the New Testament there it's very clear that that's the case, probably more, where he talks about darkness and light in that contrast. So when he's talking about that we are to walk in the light, and we are the light and walk in as children of light, he's calling us to a life of holiness, a life of righteousness, a life as believers of living in accordance with his will, of dealing with sin in our life and living in a way that is pleasing to him. But I want you to note how he starts out, because he's writing this church in Ephesus that was in a very difficult situation. They were the minority in this community. There were pagan temples all around with lots of pressure, and that pagan worship was integrated into their society and into their economy. And they were living in a difficult place. And many of them had come out of paganism and all that horribly went along with it and all the darkness that it entailed. So he's calling them to live differently. But notice what he does not do. He does not begin with shame. Are you people ever going to get it? You always do what's wrong. You never do what's right. If you would just get back on track, things. If you would just live like I'm living, you'd be better off. He doesn't start with shame. He doesn't also excuse their sin and the sinfulness that needs to be addressed. He doesn't say, well, you know what? We're all human. We all fail. We all have a long ways to go. It's sort of part and parcel of the human experience. Don't worry too much about it. He doesn't excuse sin. He doesn't enable it. He also doesn't shame it. But instead, he does what we've been seeing frequently in this series, is he calls us back to who we are in Jesus. This is who we are. This is based on our relationship and all that entails for us as followers of Christ. Fix your eyes on him. Understand who you are in him. Understand the responsibilities of one who has saved us as he has and wants to use us as we are and take us to where he is someday. All of that reality is the motivation in play. Now, he's going to get a little close to getting a little personal later in this text as we go down through verse 14. And dealing with some things. But I want you to understand that he calls us to a higher way of living, to thinking about ourselves differently, about understanding who he is. I want to start with this idea, just to kind of have a summary statement. Because you are this light in the Lord, you are called to live it out clearly, consistently, and obviously courageously. That's who we are. Now let's live it out. And it's lived out in this course of walking, this daily experience, this one step after another, one decision after another, one turn here and there as we seek to stay in the path that he has for us. So first of all, it's very simple. There's just kind of four sections down through here. Number one, because of what it says in verse 8, we are to walk in the light. Walk in the light. You were once darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as the children of light. There's another passage of Scripture that I want to just read a couple verses from. We'll be back in Ephesians in a moment. You can turn there if you like or listen. But in 1 John, the Apostle John echoes the words of the Lord Jesus when he spoke in the Gospels, I am the light of the world. When he writes in chapter 1 of 1 John, in verse 5, he says, this is the message which we have heard from him and declared to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Listen to this. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. We walk in the light. He is the light. He calls us to that. So we need to walk in the light. Notice the contrast between darkness and light in verse 8. You were once, past tense, you were once this way. Now you are light in the Lord. We're the light bearers and the light reflectors and the light carriers of the Lord, and we need to walk in light of that responsibility. Before anything else, we need to understand this. If you're going to walk in the light, you're going to have victory over the things that would pull us back into the darkness. You need to remember, you're not what you used to be. Something has changed. Kind of takes us back to what we looked at last week, where we're to walk worthy of the calling, this great calling that goes through the first two chapters and a great swath of wonderful, blessed truth we looked at last week, that we are called to walk worthy of this great position we have in him. So he takes us to this reality of our story and our status in him. And our story is seen in that first phrase, you were once darkness, but now are light in the Lord. If you're one of his children, you have been taken out of darkness and now are brought into the light. All of sin that was surrounding us was that darkness. It was that which pulled us in that direction, and we had no escape apart from Jesus. It's that which was making life more difficult, and except for the intervention of Christ, would have made our eternity absolutely horrendous. We've been brought out of that. That's our story. A change has taken place. A transaction has taken place. A transformation has indeed taken place. Then it gets to our status, where he says, "But you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Our status means this. It means that our past doesn't get to define us anymore. Your failures don't get to define who you are anymore. Your current struggles are not the final word. All those things belong to Jesus and his work as he's called us into his glorious light. Because of that status, because of that story of change, he calls us to walk in the light. The problem we face and the problem with the Ephesians believers were they have been taken out of darkness, brought into the light. They have this status of being connected with Christ, of being light in this world. But the problem is, for the Ephesians, and it's easier to talk about them than us, isn't it? We sometimes want to go walking back into that darkness from which we have come. Sometimes we have walked out of the darkness, but we've left a forwarding address. Sometimes we find ourselves sneaking back to places which God has delivered us from. It could be our way of thinking, a way of lifestyle, actions, behavior, all those things that are at play. All that comes when we lose a connection with the fact of our story. We've been taken out of darkness and brought into the light, and because we've forgotten our status of who we are in Christ. So what do? It goes back to what we've already talked about already, and it's going to sound repetitious, but repetition is good to help us get attached to our souls. Number one, we just need to understand that we need to fully see our identity in Christ. Not listen to what other people say about us, not what our emotions tell us about us, not our faulty record tells about us, but we need to see ourselves as Jesus sees us, in Christ, complete in him. And then make this decision, a conscious decision, to stop visiting those places God has brought you out of. Maybe it's going back in our thoughts, maybe it's going back in our behavior, but stay away from those things. Because we see ourselves, we know it to be real because God has changed us, that we now walk as the children of light. It's sort of like a scale. Think of a balance scale where you put weight on one side and weight on the other. When it balances, all that's as it should be. To weigh out the right amount of something or to see if the weight is correct. He says, you are, on one side of this balance scale, you are light. You've been delivered from darkness. You're walking as the children of light. Now, let our lifestyle balance that out, to be in proportion to that. That we should live differently, we should live wholesomely, we should live righteously, we should live close to him. So remember who we are, and secondly, make a determined effort with the power of the Spirit. And sometimes you have to kind of look back at the path behind you and see where the well-worn marks are, where we tend to drift off back into the world where we've left. Where is that? What takes place? What triggers that? What causes us to even consider that as an option and understand that we are who we are in Christ? Verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Number 2, we need to walk in the right. Not just in the light, but in the right. He says here, what God is producing is 3 things: goodness, righteousness, and truth. That sets the parameters for how we live. He makes this very practical. Those are things that we can run our thinking and our decision making through this filter of, is this good? Is this righteous? Is this something that's connected to the truth? In other words, you begin your walk with what indeed is right. For most of us, we do not need more information. We just need to believe and grow and practice what we already know to be true. It's not about pressure. It's not about performance. It's about connection back to this light that we have. So we need to think about these 3 words for just a moment. What is good? Well, that's sort of the world standard of what's good. You ask anybody, and certain things would be bad, and certain things would be good. And then there's certain things that might sort of be debatable among just the normal person in the world, the normal person out there. Is this a good thing? You ask a child, is this good or bad? They have already have formed some sort of a system of what is good. That can inform us. That is good. There's nothing wrong with that. But notice he moves on beyond that in verse 9. What's God producing? Goodness, righteousness, and truth. Righteousness is connected to what God is and what he's applied to us through salvation. His righteousness, his standard, Not just what most people think is right or wrong, but what God says is right or wrong. And so much of that is clearly defined. But there's always those moments when you can't quite find a chapter and verse on certain things. I want to encourage you to think this with me for just a moment. There's sometimes people who, many times over many years of ministry, people have asked me this question. Well, Pastor, but what is wrong with fill in the blank? Whatever, it could be many, many things. What's wrong with, is the Bible, I don't see anything wrong with. I would suggest to you that's the wrong question. And perhaps it's belying oftentimes a wrong attitude. That would be for that person to determine. But what if we ask not what is wrong with, what if we ask this question? What is right with fill in the blank? Just switching that around changes everything. It might be something God doesn't explicitly condemn, but does it help me be a better believer? Does it help me have a better testimony? Does it inform my love for God? Does it motivate my behavior of being a loving, patient, kind person in this world? What is right with? Because that connects it back to a higher reality. And some things, it may not be even a moral question, but when we ask what is right with, it informs our choice of behavior to help others, to stand out, to stand up, and walk the days of our lives in accordance with His will. The great news is, God isn't asking you to figure everything out. He's just asking you to take the next step within goodness and righteousness. Notice the last word there in verse 9 is the word truth. Light always light always illuminates the truth. You can see what's really there when the lights are on. And so much of what God has given us, as I said a moment ago, is in black and white, so to speak. Black ink on white paper. It's written down. He just tells us these things are not fit for a believer. These things are what we need to be pursuing. And we get that from our constant diet, a constant inflow of the truth of the Word of God. And thank you for being here on a Sunday morning, on what's almost going to feel like a summery day. And you're here and you're listening to God's Word and we're studying it together. Thank you for that. But I want to encourage you. We need to fill our minds with the truth. We need to traffic in the truth. I invite you to be back with us tonight at 6. We're going to be talking about a couple that had an encounter with Jesus that no one else ever did in this world. And the great news is we, at least through the text of Scripture, get to walk along with them. You want to know something about your Savior? These people were up close and personal with Jesus, okay? So a great time to study. What we do on Wednesday night, what you do in a small group, what you do in your personal life of studying the Scriptures. Make it your effort. Make it a high bar to miss spending time in God's truth. Because what's He want us to do? As we walk in the light, here's what we traffic in. Here's what He's wanting to produce. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. Goodness, the normal moral compass of the world. Righteousness, that which draws us closer to Him. And truth, that which informs us directly from God's lips to our ears, sinking deep into our hearts. Thirdly, we need to walk toward the light. And if we walk toward the light, we need to walk away from darkness. He says in verse 10, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. By the way, that's the conclusion of that process. Goodness, righteousness, truth. Finding out what's acceptable. What He approves, what He likes, what He wants for me, what I need to do. And then he says this, as we are finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. There were things that he was concerned about. Remember, he doesn't start with shaming them. He doesn't start with excusing them. He just takes them back to the truth. This is not what people who are walking as children of light. Think about that. You could write that on a card and it'd be accurate to self-describe yourself. We're children of light. We're connected with Him. There are certain things that we need not have to have in our lives and be trafficking in. We need to find out what is those things are, to find out what is acceptable to the Lord. And I love how he says it. It with such power and such directness, with the unfruitful works of darkness. That darkness, those things which are hidden, those things that you shouldn't even speak about, as he says in verse 5. It's shameful even to speak about those things. And they lived in a very morally corrupt, bankrupt culture, very violent, very perverted, very everything upside down, very paganistic, worshiping all sorts of gods, leading people into a lifestyle that led away from the things of righteousness. He says, don't fellowship, don't traffic with them. Don't hang out with them. But rather let the Word of God expose them, but expose the truth. I suppose you've had this experience somewhere in life. It's nighttime, and you get out of bed in the middle of the night, and you start trying to navigate through a room that you know very well. You put all that furniture there. You know it's there. You know where all the stuff is. And the lights aren't on. You start navigating until you slam your toe into the corner of the bed or something like that. And suddenly, the world changes for a few moments. There's nothing wrong with the furniture. It's just where it always has been. The problem is there's an absence of light. And maybe you hobble over moaning as you go, and we get the switch and flip it on, and suddenly everything's clear. Everything's open. That's not how we need to live our lives. Sometimes we're trafficking in darkness and wondering about this and wanting to explore that, and just flip the light on. The truth of who He is. We shouldn't have things to do with the things of the world. Jesus said it this way as He prays. He says, these are in the world. He knows the sin-soaked world in which we live. But we are not of the world. We indeed are people who walk and seek to follow Him. Now, this also means that we pursue what honors God. We seek to step away from that which doesn't. Moving toward what God is pleased with and what God does not approve. I love that phrase, finding out what is pleasing to the Lord, as He says. That goes back to that question again, not what is wrong with or what is right with. He says we'd have no fellowship with. We are separate from this world. We need to look different. How can we ever call people to a Christ, to a people that are lost in darkness, when there's no difference in our lives than theirs? It's as simple as that. But all things, verse 13, but all things are exposed, all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. It brings it to power. Maybe the question is simply this. In our choices, in our words, in our steps, in our lives, in our days, in our moments, in our issues. Different form of the same question I asked you to ask earlier, but simply this. Is this drawing me closer to Christ, or am I walking further away? Is it bringing me closer to where He wants me to be, or is it in the wrong direction? Turn from anything that survives or thrives in secrecy. By the way, a good test of moral behavior. Is this something that I can just share publicly and it's not going to be something that I'm ashamed of? If it's any pause there, that's probably a good indication. That which is in the darkness is exposed by the light. And lastly, we need to do this. We need to wake up and shine some light in this world. He goes into a quote in verse 14 that's it's a reflection or a paraphrase, really, of some language that's found in the book of Jeremiah. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Wake up. Awake up. He gets a little more urgent here. He offers a call to action. He wants them to wake up from spiritual passivity. He wants them to rise up to living out their faith intentionally. And let that light shine in this world. And Christ will give you that light to shine in this world. The key here, by the way, in all of this, and even the passage I read to you from 1 John, is we are not the light. We reflect the light which is His. Sometimes we understand that we need to be doing what we need to do, and sometimes we're just sort of slumbering our way through life, not taking it seriously, not giving our last ounce of effort to living a life that's pleasing to Him. He calls us. He commands us, if you go back to verse 8, walk as children of light. By the way, that little sentence I just shared with you just a moment ago, walk as children of light, if you want to do a little grammar lesson on that, you understand there's no subject stated in that sentence. It's an understood subject, so you could say it grammatically correct. You walk as a children of light, and since it's in an imperative, a command form, it's always right now. You walk as children of light now. Presently, present tense. So we need to decide just to take that next step. Take that next step and live out our faith. If you maybe would think about it this way, maybe this would be a wake-up call, so to speak. Is whatever God has shown you, take that next step to do. It's probably not something you even need to say, well, if the Lord would show me what to do, I'd do it. Probably there's some things in our life that He's already shown us we need to do it. Now take that step. Wake up. Get busy. I love how He says, arise from the dead. It kind of reflects back to what He said in the first verse of chapter 2 of the book of Ephesians. You were dead in trespasses and sins, raised into the newness of life, walking as the children of light. So he calls us to do that. And then he says, and Christ will give you light. As we participate, as we give pressure into our lives to conform ourselves to his likeness and his calling, he will do that. Now, one more thing I need to say is simply this. If you're here this morning, you've never trusted Jesus, your Savior, the Word of God says you're still walking in darkness. In a physical realm, you know how dangerous that is to walk in darkness. Several years ago, I was driving back from Morgantown on Interstate 79 on a dark night, and it was rainy. And our car had its windshield broken, so they couldn't get the windshield rapidly, so our insurance company provided us with a car to drive until we could get our car fixed. And I'd never driven it after dark, and I'm driving down the road, and I can't get the lights on. You know, is it here? Is it there? I don't know. And I'm driving, and for a few moments, it was really scary. Till I finally figured out the right button and the lights came on. Driving with no light is dangerous. And if you're living without Christ, you're on a road that's headed to a worrisome and difficult and horrendous destination. And Jesus wants to flip the lights on. You simply become one of his children by faith, believing in him. Understanding that we're sinners and need a Savior, Jesus is the Savior. Through his death on the cross, sin's price is paid, and he just calls us, he calls you to just say, I want that, I believe that, I accept that for me. In that moment of belief, the light turns on. You can see things more clearly. Your life is going to be going in a different direction. And more importantly, you have an eternal home in heaven prepared for you because your sins have been dealt with through Christ's blood. If you need to talk to someone about that, we'd love to have that conversation. You can do that with a friend. If you have a Christian friend or family member that knows Christ, and maybe you'd feel more comfortable talking to them, just ask them. They'd love to share with you about Jesus. They really would. If we could do that, or maybe even the privacy of your own soul, be ready just to say, Lord, I need you. Maybe some of the bumps and the bruises and the scars in my life is because I've been wandering in darkness. And God's calling you right now to step into the light. You know, as I was talking about that scene of being walking in darkness and stubbing your toe, you know, you don't complain about the furniture, you turn on the light. Life can be rough, but he wants you to turn on the light. For us as believers, this is a clear call for us to live in harmony with our calling, to live with the lights on, to walk as the children of light. As he says in verse 9, to be filling our lives with goodness and righteousness and truth, finding out what's acceptable to the Lord. Asking the questions, is this drawing me closer to you or not? Not asking what's wrong with, but asking what's right with. Here's what God's offering you. Not just more information, not just instruction, but it's a call to walk in the light as he is in the light. We need to just make sure that we are living that way with his help. I want to read verse 8 one more time, and I want to be the last words I speak before we pray. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light. Father, thank you that that is true. You've called us to that calling. Lord, we know that you didn't shame us with that truth. You didn't excuse us in spite of that truth, but you've called us to a higher calling. We need to remember our story and our status. We've moved from darkness to light, and our status is now we are secure in you. Lord, we want our lives to matter. We want it to count. We want to be pleasing to you. We want to do that because we love you. And Lord, in response to your grace, your mercy, your care, your peace, and so much more. Lord, if there be anyone with us this morning that does not know you as Savior, may you just draw them to yourself. Help them to put aside whatever obstacle or objection or reluctance remains. But Lord, help them to take that step of faith. And help us all, Lord, to take the next step.
Thank you for joining us for this time of worship and study brought to you by Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia. If you are in the Charleston area, we would love for you to worship with us in person. For service times and more information, visit our website, calvarywv.com. Until next time, may His blessing be yours.